Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to John chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 27 through 29 tonight. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Of course, we're preaching through the Gospel of John. And these are some verses. John has, of course, a lot more of the narrative, a lot more of the teaching of Jesus than the other disciples. John wrote his Gospel much later, or the other Gospel writers. John wrote his Gospel much later, and he probably had access at least to two of the other Gospels, and he was led by the Holy Spirit to kind of fill in some of the gaps that you find in the other three Gospels. The other three Gospels are often called the synoptics because they follow the same site, synonymous optic site, same site. They follow kind of the same outline of the life and the ministry of Jesus. John's Gospel came much later, and he was led by the Holy Spirit to include a lot of the teaching. John includes a lot less miracles. He has just seven signs, what he calls them, in his Gospel, which is less miracles than you'll find in the other Gospels. But he does include a lot more of the teaching of Jesus, and especially he centers on a lot of the teaching of Jesus that comes during the last week of our Lord when he was in Jerusalem leading up to the crucifixion. This is a part of a discourse that Jesus has with some of the Jews who are not believing in him. And in the course of his teaching in a rather hostile environment to those who were not really receiving or believing his message, this is what he says in John 10:27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." And then he adds, "I and my Father are one." Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you'll just give us the joy of Bible study. It is a joyful thing to study your word, a joyful thing to look at your words and to try to gain an understanding of the words of life, more precious than gold, more precious than silver, more precious than anything in this world is your word. You teach us that, and we know it to be true by experience. And so now as we look into your word, just give us the joy of discovery. Give us good hearts and good minds. Help us to be learners and teach us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This is one of the clearest statements in all of the Bible on the eternal security of the believer. Eternal security is the glorious truth that the person who truly believes in Jesus Christ for salvation will never be lost. Now, believers can, and they do, stumble and sin. Believers can backslide. Think about David, a man after God's own heart. David messed up big time, didn't he? But we know that David was a believer. And if this fly don't get away from me, I'm going to send it to fly heaven or the other place. But I promise you, I took a bath last week. It should not be attracted to me. But you think about David, a man after God's own heart, and he stumbled big time. Peter, of course, a believer in Jesus, and he denied the Lord. And you know, I think about me, and since I've been saved, I have fallen and failed the Lord. And you can think about yourself too, right? You're saved, born again, you know Jesus, but there's been times when you said things you shouldn't have said. You've done things you shouldn't have done, thought stuff you shouldn't have thought, and you have sinned. Believers can and do stumble and sin, but Jesus assures us that the person who truly believes in him, he will never lose. In these beautiful words, Jesus shows us how every true Christian is bound to God forever. Now, first of all, the promise of eternal security can only be claimed by true believers in Jesus Christ. And in these verses, the Lord Jesus gives us a description of a true Christian. Only a true Christian can claim the wonderful promise of eternal security. Now, we know that there are a lot of false Christians, a lot of counterfeit Christians. But in these verses, Jesus gives us a description of a true Christian. And he gives us that in three statements. First of all, a true Christian is one who hears and responds to the voice of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. The word hear means to hear and to respond. A true Christian is one who hears and responds to the voice of Jesus. A true Christian is one who has heard the voice of Jesus and one who has obeyed his call to repent of their sin and receive him and be saved. That's a true Christian. One who has heard the voice of Jesus and one who has obeyed his call to repent of their sin and receive him and be saved. A true Christian is born again with the desire also to continue to hear and follow the voice of Jesus. That's another sense of the statement. A true Christian is one who has heard and believed, and a true Christian is one who continues to hear and to follow the voice of Jesus. A true Christian is one who will love God's Word. And a true Christian is one who will live in God's Word because it is in God's Word that they hear the voice of their Savior and Lord. The unsaved person has little interest in reading the Bible, little interest in studying the Bible, little interest in obeying God's Word. An unsaved person, they may have a Bible, they may have many Bibles, and they may even carry their Bible to church, but they don't open it, they don't study it, they don't read it. They could care less about trying to understand it. By hearing the voice of God in God's Word and to live a life that is guided by the Word of God. I was saved many years ago, and I know I'm not the exception, but when I was saved, I was born again with an insatiable desire to know God's Word. That didn't just happen when I was called to preach. When I was saved, I was saved with an insatiable desire to study, to read, to understand the Word of God. And I don't think that's a unique experience. I think when a person is saved, they are born again with the desire to continue to hear the voice of their Lord and to read and to study and understand the Word of God. I think a person who's born again is born again with a love for the Word of God. After I was saved, I was working at a radio station in Ashburn, Georgia. I took my summer vacation so I could go to vacation Bible school, so I could sit in an adult class so I could learn the Bible. That was about not long after I was saved. I used up my 1 week of vacation at vacation Bible school. I thought it was great. That's not unique. I'm not unique. You see, the promise of eternal security is a wonderful promise that is given to true believers in Jesus. Well, who's a true believer? A true believer is one who has heard and responded to the voice of Jesus, who has been saved. And they continue to love God's Word, and they continue to live in God's Word. And they want to know it, and they want to understand it. Second of all, a true Christian is one who follows and obeys Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know that there are many who do so, but no one who lives in willful, persistent, open, unrepentant disobedience can claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Eternal security does not mean that a person can be saved and then live any way they want to. It does not mean that a person can be saved and then carry on in the sinful pleasures of the world. Because the person who is truly saved will no longer desire to live that way. The true believer has been changed by the transforming power of God. They have been given a new heart, a new mind, a new desire. They are a new creation, and they are born again with a desire to live an obedient and holy life that is pleasing to the Lord. The doctrine of eternal security, when it is rightly understood, does not encourage careless and sinful living, but it is a strong motivation to holy and godly living. It is not a license to sin. And if anyone sees in the doctrine of eternal security a license to sin, I can settle the issue right now. They've never been born again. No, we're not perfect. We're growing in process. But the person who's truly been saved can't go back to the sinful life they've been saved out of. They can stumble and sin and fall. Most of us know people who have professed to be saved, and then they have forsaken the things of God and went back into their sin. It may be dramatic. They profess to be saved. They may do it in church. They may join a church and begin in the things of God. They make a clear profession that they are saved. But soon, or after a while, they forsake the things of God, and they go back to living in their sin. What does that mean? It simply means this. They were never saved to start with. They may have put on a religious show. They may have had a religious hiccup. They may have had a religious demonstration, but they were never born again. The fact that they were able to forsake the things of God and go back into their sin proves that they were never born again. You see, the Bible says it is not the sheep, but it is the dog and the pig who go back into sin. The Bible says it's not the sheep, but it is the dog and the pig, counterfeit believers, who go back into sin. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after a person has escaped the defilements of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. If you're a true sheep, you won't go back. It's not the sheep, it's the dog, it's the pig, it's the counterfeit believers who go back into sin. Sheep are clean animals. And those who are sheep, those who are true believers in Jesus, will follow their shepherd. And where will Jesus lead you? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Where will Jesus lead you if you are following Jesus? Into the paths of righteousness. You see, the doctrine of eternal security can only be claimed by true believers. You know, after you've been in the ministry as long as I have, you run into all kinds of folks. And there has been occasions when I have run into folks who ask my opinion about the doctrine of eternal security. Now, sometimes people ask you about that, and they get a good, honest, sincere motivation. But there are those sometimes who ask you about that because they're just wanting assurance that once they're saved, they can live any way they want to live. That's their motivation. And anybody who interprets the doctrine of eternal security as a license to sin hasn't been born again. I can assure you that. I can assure you that from here until Jesus comes again. I can give you that assurance. A true Christian is one who hears and responds to the voice of Jesus and is saved. A true Christian is one who continues to follow and obey Jesus. And a true Christian is known by Jesus and kept by him. Listen to what he says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I know them, Jesus said. The Lord Jesus knows those who truly believe in him. He knows each and every one of his sheep by name. He knows if you believe in him. Do you know that? He knows. A good shepherd knows his flock. Jesus is the good shepherd. His sheep are those who believe in him. Jesus knows everyone who has truly believed in him. And not one of his sheep will ever escape his attention, and not one of his true sheep will ever be lost through an oversight or carelessness on his part. The eternal security of the sheep is dependent not on the sheep, but on the shepherd. Praise God for that. John 6:39, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, Jesus said, but should raise it up in the last day. To say that a true Christian can somehow be lost is to deny the truth of these words of Jesus, that all that the Father has given me, I shall lose nothing. It is to defame the character of the Lord Jesus. It is to make the Lord Jesus out to be an incompetent shepherd who is unable to hold those who have been entrusted to him by the Father. So if you're a true believer in Jesus, you can claim the doctrine of eternal security. If you're not, and there are a lot of unbelievers who try to claim the doctrine of eternal security. You know, I've come to the conclusion, people are weird. I mean, I'm weird too. I know it. I know it. Y'all probably even sit around and talk about how weird your preacher is. That's all right. Me and Avery sit around and talk about how weird y'all are. Nah. We're just weird, aren't we? But you know, some people are more weird than others. There are just some people who think, okay, I get my name on the dotted line. I'm safe and secure now. I can just live in the world and live in sin. And when I die, and you know what they want? They want somebody like me to preach them into heaven at their funeral. And I just got to tell you, I can't do it. Now, I'm not the judge. What a preacher says at a funeral has no bearing whatsoever on whether they go to heaven or hell. Did you know that? And I'm not a judge, and I don't try to, you know, I'm not, the final disposition of a person's soul is not up to me, for heaven's sakes. But listen, would you please do me a favor? Make it easy for me so that when you die, I won't have any trouble preaching your funeral and giving assurance that you're in heaven, okay? Live in such a way that your preacher won't have any trouble whatsoever. I've had trouble, to be honest with you, in some funeral services. The last one I didn't. Brother Jerome Thomas. That dear brother I know's in glory. I know it because I know him and his profession. And his life backed up his profession. And so Jesus says, he gives us this, this is one place where eternal security is given to us, but it's only given to true sheep. And who's a true Christian? One who has heard the voice of Jesus and has been saved. One who continues to follow Jesus, not to be saved, but because they are saved. They don't continue to follow Jesus so they can go to heaven. They continue to follow Jesus because they're going to heaven. They've been changed. And a true Christian is one who's known by Jesus and kept by him. Every morning the Lord gets up. Now that's metaphor. You know that. The Lord don't get up. But every morning the Lord takes account of his sheep all across the world. He takes account of his sheep. And he's not going to lose one. Now, sometimes, you know, shepherds had to discipline their sheep. You know, one way a shepherd used to discipline his sheep from, you know, some of the ancient writings, every now and then you'd run into a sheep that was ornery. And, you know, sheep are dumb. Sheep can't run fast. They can't defend themselves. Sheep are just like walking lamb chops. waiting for a wolf to come get them. You know, just a sheep can't do anything. You've never heard of a college football team named the Fighting Sheep. Is that not right? Yeah, you got bulldogs and you got, you know, coyotes and you got all of these fierce animals. No one has ever been called the Fighting Lambs. And so the security of the lamb is up to the shepherd. And sometimes you'd run into a sheep that would just run off and run off and just run off and get in danger. And the sheep shepherd would have to go get the stupid sheep and get him back to the flock. Sometimes if a sheep continued to do that, you know what a shepherd would do? And this is according to ancient writings. The shepherd would take the sheep and break its leg. Just like that. And then that shepherd would hold that sheep in his arms continually until that leg healed. And when that leg healed, after all of that process of that sheep, a shepherd continually holding and caressing that sheep through the process of chastisement and love, when that sheep was mended, the shepherd put the sheep down, the sheep would never run off again. There are some believers who get ornery and going to act their own way and live the way they want to live, and they run off and they run off, and the Lord has to go get them and the Lord has to go get them. And there's going to come a time, there will come times when the Lord will break their legs. You understand what I'm talking about, right? Chastisement, discipline. But through the process of loving discipline, they'll come to the point where they won't run off anymore. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But the end result is faithfulness. Well, only the true believer can have this doctrine and yield to this doctrine. Now, there are five statements by the Lord Jesus in verses 28 and 29 that declare the doctrine of eternal security. Listen again to the verses. And I give them eternal life. Jesus says, I give them eternal life, my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. There's five statements that declare the doctrine of eternal security. Number one, every true believer in Christ has eternal life. Jesus says, I give them, present tense, eternal life. He doesn't say, I shall give them eternal life. He says, I give them, present tense, eternal life. Every true believer in Jesus has, present tense, eternal life. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, right now you have eternal life if you're a true believer. The moment a person gives their life to Jesus Christ, they are saved. And at that moment, they receive the gift of eternal life. I give them eternal life. In fact, those two things are synonymous. What does to be saved mean? To be saved means that you have received the gift of eternal life. Eternal life is not something a believer might receive one day. Eternal life is something that a believer receives the moment they give their life to Jesus Christ. It is not a temporary life. It is not a conditional life. It is not a as long as I don't sin life. It is eternal life. To speak of eternal life as being temporary or conditional is a contradiction in terms. It's an oxymoron. Eternal life is not a for as long as I don't sin life. Eternal life is a life and a salvation that God gives the true believer the moment they receive Christ, and they will be saved forever. When I was saved, I received the gift of eternal life. And that means that I will be saved forever. Now, I got to be honest with you. I didn't deserve to be saved when I was saved. And I don't deserve to be saved now. Never have. And never will. And the same is true of you. You didn't deserve to be saved. Jesus didn't save you because you deserved it. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're not saved because we deserve to be saved. We are saved by His grace and by His mercy. And we are kept saved by His grace and His mercy. I didn't deserve to be saved when I was saved. And I've never deserved to be saved. And neither have you. Here's the second thing. Eternal life is a gift. I give them eternal life. Since a true believer did nothing to earn eternal life, then a true believer can do nothing to lose eternal life. You didn't do anything to earn eternal life. You didn't do anything to deserve eternal life. And you can do nothing to lose eternal life. We are saved by grace and we are kept saved by grace. And if you think that is some kind of license to sin, then I say it again, you're not saved. I heard a guy one time, preacher was a hyper-Calvinist, made some kind of statement like, you can be saved and then go out and kill 1,000 people and still go to heaven. But if you're saved, you're not going to kill 1,000 people. It's a ridiculous statement to make. But one of the guys who heard him say that say, well, I'm saved. He says, I'm saved. You mean I can never be lost? He says, well, good. I won't never come back to church again. I'll live any way I want to. Somebody interpret eternal life in that way, I can promise you, as sure as I am that I'm saved, I am just as sure that they're not. Because anybody who can use the grace of God as a license for sin has never experienced the grace of God. You say, how can you be so judgmental? I'm not judgmental. That's the Word of God. It's not my judgment. That's God's judgment. Here's the third thing. Jesus promises that a true believer will never perish. They shall never perish. That is, no true believer can lose their salvation and go to hell. That's what perish means. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, go to hell. Jesus said, I give those who believe in Me eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never lose their salvation and go to hell. Where even one to do so would make Jesus a liar. I got news for you, and this may shock you. We all deserve to go to hell. Every one of us. We don't deserve to go to heaven. That's a gift of grace. We all deserve to go to hell. We're all sinners. But thank God there is a God of grace and mercy who loves us and saves us and keeps us. Number four, there is no power in the universe, including the devils and all the demons of hell, that is powerful enough to snatch a believer out of the saving and securing hand of Christ. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My sheep, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. You're not kept saved because you're holding on to Jesus. You're kept saved because Jesus is holding on to you. The security of the believer doesn't depend on our frail ability, but on the keeping, power, and ability of Jesus, who has promised that He will defend and preserve His own. I am so glad that keeping my salvation is not up to me. Amen? Aren't you glad that keeping the salvation that Jesus has given to you is not up to you? Aren't you glad that He didn't say after He saved you, now I saved you, it's up to you to keep it? I'm so glad the God who saves me is the God who keeps me. Number five, not only are believers held secure in the hand of Christ, but they also are secure in the hand of the Father. Listen. My Father who has given them to me. Do you know that every believer is a gift of the Father to Jesus? Do you know you're a gift? You've received the gift of eternal life. But do you know that as a child of God, you are a gift from the Father to the Son?
I'm a gift. I'm a gift of God. I have been given by the Father to the Son. And so are you. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Not only are we in the hand of Jesus, but we're in the hand of the Father. Now, I'll tell you what. Can you tell me a more secure place in the entire universe than to be in the hand of the Son and in the hand of the Father? Not only that, but Ephesians 1:13 says, not only are we in the hand of the Son and we're in the hand of the Father, but we're sealed by the Spirit. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Where is the child of God? The true child of God is in the hand of the Son, in the hand of the Father, and sealed by the Spirit. As a good shepherd, Jesus has a threefold relationship with His sheep. He has a loving relationship because He's died for the sheep. He has a living relationship because He cares for the sheep. We're sheep. He's our shepherd. He died for us. He loves us. He dies for us. He cares for us. And here's number three. He has a lasting relationship because He keeps His sheep and not a one is lost. What happens when a sheep stumbles and falls and sins? The shepherd, you know what shepherds used to do? Shepherds would whack them and carry that crooked stick. You know that crooked stick you see in all those pictures? Well, that was for discipline. Sheep would run off and shepherd, whack them. Have you ever been whacked by the Lord? I have. And I can tell you, every time the Lord's whacked me, I deserved it. The discipline of the Lord. He'll discipline His sheep. Because sheep can be dumb sometimes and do stupid things. But He loves His sheep. And the Lord may chastise a sheep, but He'll never lose one. Eternal security is a glorious doctrine, but it is only given to those who are truly saved. Are you a true believer in Christ? Only if you are one of His sheep can you have the glorious doctrine of eternal security. Have you heard His voice, and have you given Him your life? Do you desire to continue to hear His voice and to follow Him? And do you live a life of obedience and holiness that pleases Christ? I'm so glad I'm saved. And I'm so glad I'm kept saved. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I hope you don't think you do either. We can get high and mighty, can't we, as believers? Think we're something. We can think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, the Bible says. Listen. Every morning, you ought to get up and thank your Lord for saving you and confess to Him that you didn't deserve it then and you don't deserve it now and you never will deserve it. How can you lose something you never deserved to have to start with? It is only by His grace we're saved, and it's only by His grace we're kept saved. It is grace that has seen us here this far, and it'll grace that'll see us home. I don't think we practice thanksgiving enough with God. I really don't. I think we give lip service to thanksgiving. We thank the Lord, you know, for stuff. I know. But I think we just do that sometimes without thought. It just becomes a pattern of our prayers, or it becomes a pattern for us. And we just, you know, and we just kind of run, skip through things. And we give kind of an umbrella thanksgiving. God, thank you for all your blessings. Well, that's good. Thank you for all your blessings. But why don't you name your blessings? I don't think we practice thanksgiving enough. I know I don't. Maybe you do. Maybe you do far better than I do. When was the last time you thanked God for saving your soul? When was the last time you thanked God for saving your soul? And when was the last time you thanked God for keeping you saved? May God help us to give Him thanks. Yeah, you can be saved and know it. You can be saved forever. But you have to know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you'll follow Him.